RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of A Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headlines, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. And this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. State oil company PT Pertamina seeks collaboration with Kuwait Petroleum. Smoke disrupts scheduled passenger services at Batam Airport. Perusahaan Gas Negara TBK PGN report 38.85% fall in net profit. Now the news in detail. State oil company PT Pertamina Persero is asking quality oil company Kuwait Petroleum Company to collaborate in a number of oil projects. The collaboration will include oil explorations and refinery constructions in Indonesia, Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said after accompanying Vice President Yusuf Kalla met with Kuwait Petroleum representative on Monday, August 31st, that Kuwait is interested to collaborate with Pertamina in the upstream business. Chief Executive of the National Energy Board, Sudirman Said, who is also the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, explained that this is a historical achievement because for the first time, we are setting a guidance in developing the national energy sector. In the natural gas sector, the government aims to reduce the export of natural gas until it reaches 0% in 2040. In the coal sector, the government will control and limit coal production to just 400 million tons starting in 2019. Lastly, in the renewable energy sector, the government plans to build renewable energy power plants on a large scale. Scores of flights heading toward Batam's Hang Nadim Airport, especially those originating from Palembang, Pekanbaru, and Medan, have had a battle intense, thick fog across the region, which is caused by the widespread forest fires in mainland Sumatra. The head of Hang Nadim International Airport General Manager Suwarso said that it is known that the low load factor due to the upcoming low season have necessitated the cancellations of several scheduled passenger services to and from Batam Airport. It is known that, on Monday, two flights from Jambi and another from Pekanbaru bound for Batam had to be delayed due to the thick smoke, and as per today, both flights have yet to arrive in Batam. NAM Air Flight IN9034 from Batam to Medan, which was supposed to fly out using a similar aircraft at 9:30 local time, have also had to be delayed. Other flights which has been disrupted by the smoke includes Lion Air's JT2236 from Pekanbaru and Garuda Indonesia Flight GA270 from Medan. State-owned gas distributor PT Perusahaan Gas Negara TBK or PGN reported $227.34 million in net profit in the first half of the year, down 38.56% from the same period last year. PGN Corporate Secretary Harry Yusuf attributed the decline in profit to the country's flagging economy and falling value of rupiah against the U.S. dollar. The economic slowdown has its impact on the performance of PGN's customers, especially the industrial sector and power generating sector, Harry said on Monday. Harry Yusuf said he is optimistic the company would post better performance on prediction that the condition of country's economy would improve in coming month. He also said that PGN is set to continue to be the main supplier of natural gas for household and industrial consumers, including small and medium enterprises, commercial sector, industrial sector, power generating plants, and transport sector. Indonesian Culture and Education Minister Anies Baswedan officially opened National Theatre Festival of Children Tuesday at Taman Ismail Marzuki, Jakarta. Theme, Play, Work, Culture. The festival held from 31 of August until September 3rd, 2015, is participating in by 510 children from 34 provinces in Indonesia. On the occasion, Indonesian Education and Culture Minister Anies Baswedan said that theater is one of ways to encourage the children's potential.
Olah fisik ada, olah rasa muncul.
There are physical exercises. Then the body mix between thoughts, words, action, and imagination. There is tremendous growth imagination in theater. For the parents and teacher, if there are children who are interested in theater, please push them, because this is an incredible opportunity for creativity. The creation is a concrete manifestation of the imagination. But if kids want to get creative, the imagination must grow first. Now, the theater is a sophisticated tool.
Imajinasi harus berkembang dulu. Nah, teater ini salah satu instrumen yang canggih.
Anies further said that theater encourages children to develop their communication skills because the process is collaborative and communicative. He called on the parents not to worry if their children learn arts. According to him, children who learn the art will also grow independently and happily, like other children who learn science. On the same occasion, the Director General of Culture, Ministry of Education and Culture, Kacung Marijan, said the festival aims to give appreciation to regional theater, especially the children. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia said that the arrival of International Monetary Fund IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde to Indonesia today on Tuesday is not about financial cooperation or loans. BI spokesman Tirta Segara asserted that Lagarde's visit is only to attend a seminar. Bank Indonesia and the IMF will hold an international seminar dubbed The Future of Asia's Finance on September the 1st to the 2nd in Jakarta. The conference will discuss global economic challenges and implications for policymakers in Asia. Additionally, Tirta said it is normal for IMF officials to visit member countries. As Indonesia has been an IMF member since February 1967, Tirta said it is normal for us to receive the visit of IMF's managing director. Other countries are also the same. IMF senior representative in Indonesia, Ben Bingham, asserted that Lagarde will not be discussing loans during her visit to Indonesia. Bingham made the statement to deny media report that the IMF would provide financial assistance to Indonesia. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, or AHOK, will revise Gubernatorial Regulation No. 64/2011 about provincially owned property that stipulates on the street parking. The revision aims to make Jakarta citizens use public transportation. Governor AHOK said on Tuesday that electronic parking terminal concept is to control the number of vehicles. So he said This is not about parking tariff because the real goal is to make Jakarta citizens to use private vehicles to use public transportation. Meanwhile, Jakarta Transportation Agency Chief Andri Yansha said there are several points that will be revised. Among them is road section regulation, which must be changed because road sections in Jakarta change every year. The change affects the regulation on the street parking. Parking system is also planned to be included in Jakarta Smart City concept. This integration will be effective when all TPE have been set. There are 400 spots in Jakarta that will have TPE with CCTV to control parking. So far, there are 19 parking spots that have entered the auction process this year. The last item, Rupiah's interbank exchange rate in Jakarta went down by 5 points to commence trading at 14,070 rupiah per US dollar at the start of Tuesday's trading session. The head of research for NH Korindo Securities Indonesia, Riza Priyampada in Jakarta on Tuesday said that if Indonesia manages to post a low inflation rate, then the rupiah could rebound into the green zone once more, but a disappointing inflation figure will make the rupiah prone to further depreciations. A researcher to Mandiri Sekuritas, Leo Rinaldi, added that Indonesia's inflation figure for the month of August is expected to hover around the 0.63% mark, lower than previous month figure, which stood at 0.93%. Indonesia's year-on-year inflation is expected to increase to 7.43%, up from 7.26% last month. A drop in manufacturing output could bode negatively for the currencies from emerging markets, which could drive investors to seek out safe haven currencies, including the US dollar. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. State oil company PT Pertamina seeks collaboration with Kuwait Petroleum. Smoke disrupts scheduled passenger services at Batam Airport. Perusahaan Gas Negara TBK PGN report 38.85% fall in net profit. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled No Need to Worry About the Withdrawal of Mandatory Bahasa Indonesia for Foreign Workers. Listener, 5 months ago, the Minister of Manpower and Transmigration, Hanif Dakhiri, announced a regulation that foreign workers were required to have the ability to speak Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. At that time, Hanif explained the reason was, among others, as part of policy to control foreign labor in Indonesia. This has not had time to be effective when President Joko Widodo asked this requirement to be abolished. In the new regulation of the Minister of Labor, there is no rule requiring foreign workers to have the ability to speak Indonesian. Government has removed this requirement in order to attract investors. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Sibarani Franki, explained, so far this requirement has become obstacles for the entry of foreign investors. As a result, the realization of investment in the country is sometimes delayed because the company found it difficult to find foreign workers who can speak Indonesian. The withdrawal of mandatory requirement of speaking Indonesian for foreign workers turned out to reap a lot of criticism. Chairman of the Indonesian Trade Unions Confederation, Said Iqbal, said the policy threatens the sovereignty of the nation and reducing employment opportunities for Indonesian workers. Vice Chairman of Commission 6 of the House of Representatives, Harry Gunawan, doubted the government reason to increase investment. According to him, no study that says that the use of Indonesian would hamper investment. The government policy should be viewed positively given the current Indonesia needs of foreign investments. Investors require easy, clear, transparent, and fast licensing services. the government must continue to innovate in order to attract investors to Indonesia. One of them through the revolution of Indonesian language requirement for foreign workers policy. Community concerns related to the impact of the lifting of a mandatory requirement in Indonesian for foreign workers should become the government's attention, especially regarding the possibility of a flood of foreign workers to Indonesia when the ASEAN Economic Community applies by the end of 2015. Many predict that then Indonesia will become an easy target for workers from other countries, especially from Singapore and Malaysia. The study of the Boston Consulting Group, as reported by Detik Finance, indicates that Indonesia will become an easy target of ASEAN countries such as Thailand, Singapore, and Malaysia. 80% will be targeting the consumer market in Indonesia. Based on the results of this study, the government needs to provide protection for Indonesian workers. According to the government, mandatory Indonesian language for foreign workers does not mean that the government does not provide protection for Indonesian workers. As disclosed by Labor Minister Hanif Dahiri, there are still many mandatory requirements in the regulation of the Minister of Labor, which became the instrument of protection of domestic workers. Among them, foreign workers must have an education in accordance with the terms of office to be occupied, have a certificate of competence or work experience of at least 5 years in accordance positions, draft agreements, and many more. When the instruments of protection for Indonesian workers are still not sufficiently effective, the government may need to re-enter Indonesian language skills requirements for foreign workers. And listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back outstanding people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with September 1, 1923, the Great Kanto Earthquake in Japan. The Kanto Plain stretched between Tokyo and Yokohama. An earthquake of magnitude between 7.9 and 8.4 on the Richter scale, with its epicenter in Sagami Bay, and hit the Kanto Ijuoshima Island on September 1, 1923. The earthquakes caused mass destructions in the Kanto region that includes Tokyo, the port city of Yokohama, and surrounding prefectures such as Chiba Prefecture, Kanagawa, and Shizuoka Prefecture. This devastating earthquake left an estimated 156,000 people killed. We switch to September 1, 1961. The first conference of non-aligned movement is held in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. The Asia-Africa conference held from 18 to April 24, 1955 in Bandung and attended by 29 heads of states and governments from Asia and Africa was the beginning process of the birth of the non-aligned movement. The first non-aligned movement summit was held in Belgrade, Yugoslavia from September 1 to 6, 1961. It was attended by 25 countries including Egypt, Ghana, India, Indonesia, and Yugoslavia. In the first summit, the countries of the non-aligned movement founders were determined to establish a movement and not an organization to avoid bureaucratic implications in establishing a cooperative efforts among them. The summit also emphasized that the non-aligned movement is not directed to the passive role in international politics, but to formulate its own independent positions that reflect the interests of its member states. We end with September 1, 1963. Bogor Agricultural University was established. Bogor Institute of Agriculture, IPB, is a state agricultural university based in Bogor, West Java.
At first, it was the School of Agriculture Bogor or Landbouw Hogeschool, founded by the Dutch in 20th century. The school was later renamed the Faculty of Agriculture, University of Indonesia. The laying of the first stone of the Faculty of Agriculture was done by the first President of the Republic of Indonesia, Insinyur Soekarno, on April 27, 1952. He wanted agriculture to be dealt specifically because Indonesia is an agrarian country. Later, several faculties at the University of Indonesia decided to form an independent educational institution. On September 1, 1963, the Faculty of Agriculture and Faculty of Veterinary of the University of Indonesia split into Bogor Agricultural University with five faculties, namely, in IPB, three faculties such as the Faculty of Agriculture, Faculty of Forestry, and Faculty of Fisheries in Baranang Siang, and two faculties such as the Faculty of Animal Science and the Faculty of Veterinary Medicine at Mount Gede. Furthermore, the IPB campus area has expanded to Dramaga region. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRS World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it is on the crisis of 1998, hopefully will not happen again. Weakening economic condition in Indonesia today is very different from the monetary crisis that happens in 1997-1998. The government and the central bank's anticipation in facing the economic shocks is still quite good so far. Governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, said, Indonesia's economic fundamentals are more able to withstand the current crisis. This is indicated by several economic indicators. According to Agus Martowardoyo, in 1998, the negative economic growth reached 13.13%, whereas today it is estimated as still positive with 4.9% growth. Furthermore, foreign exchange reserve in 97 and 98 only reached about $23 billion. But in July 2015, it was recorded at $107.6 billion. In addition, the inflation rate in 98 reached 77.63%, while the current figure tends to low and stable, which is 4 plus minus 1% in 2015 and 2016. Related to this, Deputy 3 for Strategic Issues, Management of the Presidential's Office, Purbaya Yudi Sadewa, said, the economic downturn now is part of the slowdown cycle experienced by almost every country. Not only Indonesia, even the United States is experiencing the same slowdown cycle. Every business economy has its cycle. Although weakened, according to Yudi, Indonesia has not entered into a critical phase as it did in 98. Since his inauguration in October 2014, President Joko Widodo has been aware of the possibility of economic slowdown, so a number of anticipatory measures have been done. Currently, Indonesia is trying to create an economic turning point so in the future it can grow well. Some steps have been taken by the government to strengthen the economy, including keeping the purchasing power of people, carrying out family welfare saving programs, and seeking to accelerate the absorptions of the budget. Meanwhile, Director of Indonesian Sustainable Development, Drajat Wibowo, said, there are three things that can be done by the government to improve the current economic conditions. First, the government must prepare a package of economic policy which is fiscal strengthening oriented and secure the state budget. Thus, the government will have the bargaining power to convince investors. Second, the government is expected to take a lesson from India to come out of the economic problems. According to Drajat Wibowo, among countries in Asia, only the Philippines and India are experiencing the smallest blow of the global crisis. India can reduce the effect of global turbulence by securing pro-business policies. The last steps to do is the government to bring the rupiah and the dollar stabilized, among others by preparing an initial public offering IPO.
He also emphasized that it was only for short-term measures. But the most important thing is to restore the purchasing power of the market in order to recover. That was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, September the 1st in Jakarta. We start from Kompas in its headline, writes about growing the market trust. Indonesian government is expected to give confidence, ulang. Indonesian government is expected to give confidence to investors and businessmen in the real sector. This can give a psychological effect because the macroeconomic variables actually in a good condition. However, the fact that the economic downturn experienced at all levels. While Media Indonesia writes about Jati Gede Reservoir boosts economy. Jati Gede Reservoir in Sumedang, West Java, that was beginning operated on Monday, will boost economy. Being the second biggest reservoir in Indonesia after Jati Luhur, it will increase the harvest to supply electricity and other sectors. The reservoir began to be built since 1963, was officially inaugurated by Minister of Public Work and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyono, along with West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan. Republika also in its headline writes about Indonesia economy is susceptible. Two coordinating ministers in Joko Widodo's administration admitted Indonesian economy is in difficult condition. Indonesian economy Darmin Nasution and Maritime Coordinating Minister Rizal Ramli said this separately on Monday in Jakarta. According to Darmin, Indonesian economy remain vulnerable, particularly in the financial sector and capital. We end today's headline from Business Indonesia. The Daily writes business license needs to be trimmed. Regulation and licensing in regional business and investment sectors is evaluated in Educate. The central government should implement breakthrough to overcome the measure. Director Executive of Regional Autonomy Implementation Monitoring Committee, Robert Andy Jaweng, evaluated the central government should realize the fact in the region since complicated regulation is actually in the region. Therefore, upstream regulation reform, such as in the ministerial and institution level, not be applied well. Listener, that was headline of some national newspapers published in Jakarta today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listener, welcome to News in Brief. State oil company PT Pertamina Persero is asking Kuwait Oil Company, Kuwait Petroleum Company, to collaborate in a number of oil projects. The collaboration will include oil explorations and refinery constructions in Indonesia. Scores of flights heading toward Batam's Hang Nadim Airport, especially those originating from Palembang, Pekanbaru, and Medan, have had to battle intense thick fog across the region, which is caused by the widespread forest fires in mainland Sumatra. State-owned gas distributor PT Perusahaan Gas Negara TBK or PGN reported $227.34 million in net profit in the first half of the year, down 38.56% from the same period last year. Indonesian Culture and Education Minister Anies Baswedan officially opened National Theatre Festival of Children Tuesday at Taman Ismail Marzuki, Jakarta. Themed Play Work Culture, the festival held from August 31st until September 3rd, 2015, is participating in by 510 children from 38 provinces in Indonesia. Bank Indonesia said that the arrival of International Monetary Fund IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde to Indonesia today, on Tuesday, is not about financial cooperation or loans. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama or AHOK will revise Gubernatorial Regulation No. 64, 2011, about provincially owned property that stipulates on the street parking. The revision aims to make Jakarta citizens use public transportation. Rupiah interbank exchange rate in Jakarta went down by 5 points to commence trading at 14,072 rupiah per US dollar at the start of Tuesday's trading session. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, you still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting live from frequency of 9525 kHz and audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion and criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment Indonesia Wonder and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Gandrung Art, a typical Banyuwangi art, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, on August 28th to 30th, 2015, Gandrung and Barong Using, typical art of Banyuwangi, East Java Province, nicely performed in Frankfurt, Germany. The performance of Gandrung and Barong Using in Germany as guests of honor at the Frankfurt Book Fair 2015 has attracted the audiences. While in Germany, the Gandrung Arts and Barong Using also performed for 3 consecutive days at the Sofrafest Museum, the largest cultural festival in Europe, in Frankfurt, along with the appearance of several famous Indonesian musicians such as Jaduk Ferianto, Kwa Etnika, Dwiki Darmawan, and Jay Flo. Currently, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to know one of the art that performed at Frankfurt Book Fair 2015, the Gandrung Art. Listener, Gandrung Art is a traditional dance of community in Banyuwangi, East Java. The Gandrung dance comes from the word of Gandrung, which means admiration. According to its origin, the dance tells about spellbound of Blambangan community in Bali to Dewi Padi or the rice goddess, namely Dewi Sri, who bring prosperity to the people. The dance actually is a reflection of the people's thanksgiving over post-harvest. This dance is brought by female dancers as the main dancer when they invited male audiences called Paju to dance together. When dancing, the dancers always wear the unique crown called Omprok. The dancer's crown usually made of buffalo leather and given a gold and red ornaments. The clothes worn by dancer made of black velvet, which is decorated by golden ornaments and beads. Meanwhile, the bottom of cloth, the gandrung dancers wearing batik, which generally they use common batik pattern of gajah uling or plant style with elephant's trunk that characterizes typical Banyuwangi. The performance of gandrung art divided into three parts, namely row, move forward, and seblang subuh. Part of jejer, or row, is the opening of entire gandrung show. In this section, the dancers sing some songs and perform solo dancing. Once the row is complete, then the dancers begin to give shawl scarves to the guests, especially honorary guests who get the chance to dance together. This is part of a dance called maju. After completing the maju movement, or move forward and take rest for a moment, then begin the seblang subuh section. It is a concluding part of the whole series of performances of gandrung Banyuwangi. The dancers begin to dance with slow movements while singing the sad song theme. Mystical atmosphere felt at part of the dance. Listener, gandrung dance now appear in various events such as weddings and the state official occasions. When performed, the dance is always accompanied by traditional gamelan music. Since 2000, the dance has become the official mascot of Banyuwangi tourism. Gandrung dancer sculptures displayed at various angles of towns and villages. The government of Banyuwangi also promote gandrung dance to be staged in various regions even abroad, such as Surabaya, Jakarta, Hong Kong, and America. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic gandrung art. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language, introducing you to some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli perabotan rumah tangga or buying the furniture. Well then, stay tuned. Listener, first I will introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. Membeli, membeli, in English, to buy. Perabotan rumah tangga, perabotan rumah tangga, in English, furniture, renovasi. renovasi. In English, renovation. Baru, baru. In English, new. Antar, antar. In English, accompany. Sofa, sofa. In English, sofa. Enam, enam. In English, six. Kursi makan, kursi makan. In English, dining chair. Meja makan, meja makan. In English, dining table. Lemari baju, lemari baju. In English, cupboard or closet. Rak buku, rak buku. In English, bookshelf. Tempat tidur, tempat tidur. In English, bed. Meja tamu, meja tamu. In English, coffee table. Meja rias, meja rias. In English, dressing table. Listener, next is a conversation on membeli perabotan rumah tangga, or in English, buying furniture. As usual, I will say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rio, or A, and Andy, or B, at the office. A, rumah saya sudah selesai direnovasi. Rumah saya sudah selesai direnovasi. In English, my house has been renovated. Sekarang, saya mau membeli perabotan rumah tangga. Sekarang, saya mau membeli perabotan rumah tangga. In English, now I want to buy new furniture. B. Apa saja yang hendak kamu beli? Apa saja yang hendak kamu beli? In English, what are you going to buy? Saya bisa antar kamu ke toko furniture. Saya bisa antar kamu ke toko furniture. In English, I can accompany you to the furniture store. A. Saya mau membeli satu set sofa. Saya mau membeli satu set sofa. Saya mau membeli satu set sofa. In English, I want to buy a sofa set. Lemari pakaian, rak buku, tempat tidur, dan 6 buah kursi. Lemari pakaian, rak buku, tempat tidur, dan 6 buah kursi makan. In English, a cupboard, bookshelf, a bed, and 6 dining chairs. Meja makan saya masih bagus, jadi tidak usah membeli yang baru. Meja makan saya masih bagus, jadi tidak usah membeli yang baru. In English, my dining table is still good, so I needn't buy a new one. Oh ya, juga meja tamu dan meja rias. Oh ya, juga meja tamu dan meja rias. In English, oh, a coffee table and a dressing table too. B. Kalau begitu, mari saya antar. Kalau begitu, mari saya antar. In English, in that case, let me take you there. Saya tahu tempatnya. Saya tahu tempatnya. In English, I know the place. Well then, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner.
presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you an Indonesian pop singer, Marcelo Tahitu. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Aku Selalu Ada or I'm Always There. Have a listening.
Hatiku terbuka untuk dirimu. Waktuku pun banyak untuk
listener, Marcelo Tahitu, who is more familiarly known as Ello, is an Indonesian singer. His singing talent is passed down from his parents, who have been well known as artists in their time. His father is a musician and a songwriter from Maluku, Mingus Tahitu, and his mother is a senior Batak pop singer who was very famous in the 1980s, Deana Nasution. Ello has released more than 3 albums. In 2005, Ello released his first album with a single hit entitled Pergi Untuk Kembali or Leave to Return, with the sales of more than 150,000 copies and entitled to obtain a platinum certificate. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Pergi Untuk Kembali, and here is the song. Ello, who was born in Jakarta on February 20, 1983, is more exceeded in the Indonesian music industry when he obtained Indonesia Music Award in 2005 for the Best Album and the Best Newcomer. In 2014, Ello re-released the single Anugerah Terindah Yang Pernah Kumiliki, previously popularized by Sheila on 7. In last February 2015, Ello released the fourth album with the rock music genre. Rock music is not new for Ello because he likes rock music genre. On this album, Ello wrote his own song, because he wanted to shed all the inspiration he had saved for a long time to compose a rock genre of songs, although the theme for the song remains the same, about love. He has composed as many as 10 songs. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Anugerah Terindah Yang Pernah Kumiliki and Ayo Indonesia Bisa. And happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Melihat tawamu, mendengar senandungmu, terlihat jelas di mataku, warna-warna indahmu. Menatap langkahmu, meratapi kisah hidupmu, terlihat jelas bahwa hatimu anugerah terindah yang pernah ku miliki. Sifatmu nah selalu redakan ambisiku, tepikan kilafku dari bunga yang layu. Saat kau di sisiku, kembali dunia ceria, tegaskan bahwa kamu anugerah terindah yang pernah ku miliki. Darimu sejuk tatap wajahmu, mana perlu janjimu. Bila lembut darimu sejuk tatap wajahmu, mana perlu janjimu. Anugerah terindah yang pernah ku miliki. Anugerah terindah yang pernah ku miliki. Anugerah terindah yang pernah ku miliki.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.